Let the church say amen.
Amen.
When you can't feel at home in this world anymore, because God takes favor and is above all. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 14th chapter of the book of Job. We've been there before, and we're going to go there again. Anybody that's been in the church for any length of time have heard numerous sermons and lessons from the book of Job. So it's not anything new that I'm bringing today. It's simply something that we should have enough faith in to continue in. This morning, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, You have blessed us once again when You gently touched us this morning and we came back to life from our sleeping and our slumbering. We thank You, Father. Then You not only woke us up, but You raised us up, allowed us to get up. You gave us food for our stomachs and health for our bodies, or at least a reasonable portion of such. Thank You, Father, for the clothes that You allowed us to have that we may clothe ourselves in. Thank You, Father, for the air that we breathe. But most of all, Father, thank You because You sent Your Son that He established the church that we may come to this morning. Father, we come praying this morning for the sick and the shut in. And we come especially this morning, Father, praying on behalf of the Jackson family. We pray for their well-being. We pray for their continued strength and their continued courage in the face of what has taken place in the family. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that You would continue to bless them, that they may see You and know that You are who You are, say You are, and that You are real, O Lord. Thank You, Father, for those who once again may be sick and those who else may be going through some of the same grief and sorrows this morning. But we thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us to come out to the household of faith. We thank You this morning, Father, that there may be some who are still on their way. We pray for safe passage that they may get here. We pray for those brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and we continue to ask that You not only bless them, but their families as well, and also leadership here in the congregation, that You continue to strengthen them and their families. Thank You, Father, for so much, so many, and everything, Lord. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, who went up Calvary's hill that we might live. Thank You for everything, Lord. It is in His name we ask it all. Amen. This morning from that 14th book of Job, and I know it has been said that people are people and all of us have many things in common. There are things that we all need, like we all need food, we all need water, we all need air. But we are also different. We are also different in many ways. We are not all wealthy. Not all of us are the same size. And certainly there are many of us who are of different races and different nationalities. There are many of us, Lord, who this morning may not have very much, and then there are those who have a lot. But nevertheless, we are the same according to the Word of God. Most Christians are familiar with the book of Job, as I said, and most of us, all of you, and myself included, have heard words from the book of Job. If you've been in the church for a few years, you've probably heard as many sermons on the book of Job, but you've heard them in different variations and on something different about the character of the man. Now, I'm not planning anything different today, but I just want to tell you what the Bible says. And so let us look at this morning the days of men, the days of men. The first thing we want to look at is that all men have troubles in their lives. In the first verse of the book of Job in chapter 14, we are given to know that if you are born of a woman, we shall be full of trouble. We shall be full of troubles, I should say. When we know according what we have found out according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 is that woman is the weaker vessel. But it was yet that woman who became the transgressor because being the weaker vessel. She didn't understand the word of God as well as the first man did. We are all born from a woman and therefore we are born into her sin. And I may as well tell you, ladies, I'm not against you this morning. We love you. We as men, we love you. But you brought us some troubles in our lives. In Genesis chapter 3, you know the events, and you may well take notice of it at your own time. In chapter 3 of Genesis, around verse number 16 and around verse number 17, you'll find the story that got us all into a big mess right now. Therefore, a man that is born of a woman comes forth with weaknesses. When you notice in Job 1 and verse number 14 again, look at the verse. It says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days. But look at his days that he has. They are full of troubles. Now, any man that doesn't have troubles, he might say that he wasn't born of a woman. But I can't think of any man that was not born of a woman. When you notice that, you notice that we have but a few days, and then we are full of troubles. And I know some have been conditioned to believe that when one has money, he can solve all of his troubles. But in the case of trouble, the Bible speaks of money will not enable anyone to get around troubles. You remember in Mark chapter 10, starting around about verse number 17, where there came a man unto Jesus. He wanted to know the qualifications for eternal life. So Jesus educated the man in the following verses, starting perhaps around verse number 21. Notice something about Jesus there. He did not become angry at the man, but Jesus, beholding him and loved him, but he spoke the truth unto him, church. He told him, one thing you are lacking in, and even though you know the commandments, even though this man had observed them from his youth, he needed to sell what he had, give to the poor, and he should have treasures in heaven. Take up his cross and follow Jesus. This is what we must do today as well. Too many Christians today want to live by the code or the Word of God, but they don't want to do the works of the Word of God. They want to call themselves Christians, but they don't want to do the works that it requires to be a Christian. I ask the question today, when you can't count on the church folk, who can you count on? When you can't count on the church folk, who can you go to when you got troubles in your life? When you can't count on the church folk, who can you ask for help? Well, I'll answer that question for you. You can always go to God. You can always go to God. Far too many of us, I should say far too many of Christians, want to go by the name Christian, but are short on Christian work. Do you remember in James chapter 2, starting somewhere around about the 18th verse, where a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. But James says, show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In verse number 20, he also writes that faith without works is dead. Church, when you can't count on your good looks and your pretty clothes, when you get to the realization that that's not all needed to be a Christian, then we must understand that we have troubles in our lives. Look at verse number 2 of Job 14. He cometh forth, speaking of man, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. That means one thing, church, that you're going to come up, but you're going to also go away. You're going to die one day, and there's just no easy way to put it. But death is never easy, but it is something that we must accept the fact of. Not only do men have trouble, but men have sin. Sin is not new. Neither is it just in the current world. It even happened back in the Old Testament. We find the mention of the word in Genesis chapter 4, around about verse number 7, where it speaks of sin lying at the door where Cain had slain his brother Abel. And we surely know that as Christians today, none of us are immune from sin. Now, I know some of us like to think that, well, it's not me. I'm not doing anything. I'm just as straight as an arrow. But I got news for you. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes way back then that there is not a just man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Nobody. Nobody. For the many who frown upon sin, We may not be living in a sinful state, but we are certainly not excluded from sin. The Lord, the one and only Lord, is the perfect man, who the only perfect man that ever lived. He was crucified, buried, and then arose from the dead. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "All we are like sheep. We have gone astray. We have turned back to his own way. All of mankind falls under the corruption brought on in the garden from the beginning of man's time." According to that chapter, that verse that I just read, Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, the beginning of man's time is where we need to go back and to find where sin came from. But like in Isaiah 53 and 6, we are like sheep. And sheep are by nature kind of dumb. Sheep are by nature kind of dumb, and they often drift away from the flock. And many times it requires the help of their shepherd to bring them back to the flock. And that's what happens to us today. It's with us today. Sometimes we stray, and we need our shepherd to rescue us from the reaches of sin. Many of us have lived our lives as if we have all the time in the world to set things in order. I may as well let you know that the clock is running down. Now, most of you, many of you are familiar with games like basketball and football. When the 2-minute buzzer sounds, when that buzzer is sound, that means something. That means that the time is almost up, and that things you need to make, get yourself in order. If you're down by a point or two, you need to make sure you're ready to go out there and start to fight all over again and beat the opposing team. So when that 2-minute warning signs, sports figures usually get their acts together, or they at least try. But I got news for you. There is no 2-minute warning buzzer sounded in life. There is no 2-minute buzzer sounding to let you know you got 2 minutes or 2 hours or 2 days or 2 weeks left in your life. It simply means that when that 2-minute buzzer sounds, it means that you need to get it together and do your best. So as for Christians, we need to do our best our entire life. When we think about life itself, life is very precious. Look what Job said once again in verse number 1. He said, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." But then in verse number 2, "He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth and also as a shadow and continueth not. And does thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee?" Then look at verse number 4. He says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." We don't have forever, church. We don't have forever. Soon we will be gone, and no more work shall be done. There won't be any work that we can do anymore, church. Not only are men full of trouble, not only have all men sin, but all men, their days are determined. We know that the days of man are few. But we must come to know these days are determined by God and not by us. When the days of our lives are determined by... Look at verse 5 there, if you will. "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." The days are determined by God. The months are determined by God. The years are determined by God. The days that we are given are full of trouble. Now, this does not mean that we don't have some days where we can be joyful. There are many joyful days in a man's life. But sin always finds its way into our lives. And with sin comes trouble. With trouble comes sin. They seem to work hand in hand. Sin always finds its way into that life of a man. Yes, there are some things that we can do to make life better. Make life better while we are living in this world, at least. For our eternity, I should say. All we have to do is be willing to give up a few things. A few things we must be willing to pay the price of. Number one, we must give up sin. If I were a financial advisor, of which I'm not, But if I were a financial advisor, I would advise you and tell you that sin is a bad investment. I would tell you that the only return you get from sin is death, according to Romans chapter 6 and the verses number 23, where it says the wages of sin is death. On the other hand, an investment of your time in Jesus is rewarding. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us all from all iniquity. So that's a good investment. We must be willing to give in to the will of the Lord. We must turn against the world and turn to God. We must take up our cross and follow him, according to Matthew chapter 16. When we are willing to pay the price or the cost, we can then better understand what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verses 9, where it says, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh yes, church, I'll tell you now and I'll tell you again, our days are certainly a few. And there should be no doubt in our minds that death is sure and that eternity is long and that hell is just as real as heaven. Some of us have got a false impression that hell really doesn't exist. I've heard people make the statement that they say something to the effect that if God really loves us, he wouldn't send us to hell. Well, does he? Does he send us to hell, or do we send ourselves to hell? We do, and we can make a decision on where we would like to spend our eternity. Look at the text again. In verse number 5, once again, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. I remember this morning hearing in Bible class about the man who had all of these barns that he had built up. And he kept insisting on this is for me and this is mine. He kept using the term I and mine. And he never thought about anyone else. But you see, as children of God, we must learn to think not only of ourselves, but we must learn to think of our neighbors, and we must learn to put God first in our lives. In the days of our lives, we can make a decision on where we would like to spend an eternity and work toward that end. Our days, our months, and our years are determined by God, but how we live them here on this earth is our choice. Thank God that the days of our youth, when we come to where the days of our youth have dwindled away. And you know, if you've gotten a little bit older, you remember a lot of times about the days of your youth. You remember when you could run and jump high as the building almost, but now you can barely walk. You remember the days of your youth when your hair was all one color instead of being two-tone. You remember the days of your youth when you could reach out and touch somebody. And now if you reach out, your fingers may not let you touch anybody anymore. Remembering the days of our youth. And remember that the days of our youth shall eventually fall into the days of old age. And when the days of old age come, things start hurting and things don't want to work right anymore. And you think to yourself, I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. I used to be able to do all of the things I see the young folk do today. But the days of your youth are fleeting, church, and you don't have a lot of time. When our days and our months that are determined by God, we must learn to accept God's will in our lives. I never wanted to have gray hair, but I started realizing I had gray hair when I was about 20 years old. And a man asked me, that's helped me to realize, he asked me, he said, why do you have gray hair? And I said, I don't know. I just got it. But when the days of your youth have faded and that hair begins to turn gray, remember what the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs in chapter 16 and verse number 31. The Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. In other words, how are you going to be found? Because you're old don't mean you have to stop living for God. That's all I'm trying to say. When those days of our youth have dwindled away and our steps are not as sure as they once were. When our focus began to show the look of aging. When our face, I should say, began to show the look of aging. It's not time to give up on God. And when our head has become gray, the book of Proverbs, as I said, told us that could be a crown of righteousness. Yes, the days of men on this earth may be short, but I promise you that eternity is longer than the days of this earth, on this earth. Look at the text again. Man is born of a woman is of a few days, and he's full of trouble. Now, when these troubles come, and I know that many of us, we think in terms of trouble being, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I don't have enough food to feed anybody but me. What am I going to do? But those are not the kind of troubles that I'm speaking of right now. I'm speaking of the troubles you may have on the day of judgment, the troubles you may have when you meet the Lord face to face, and the troubles you may have when you wind up being sent away into an everlasting fire. Oh, that's trouble. That's trouble. And then I think about it, church, and I often wonder how that men can't understand that they'll believe everything that's printed or everything that they hear on the radio or on the TV, but yet they won't believe the printed word of God. A man made that. A man wrote that, they say. But then I tell you something. The writers of the Bible were inspired of God. And so when Job wrote these words that man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble, he knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about. How many men in here today, and women, this goes for women too, men and women, how many in here today can raise their hand and say, I've never had any troubles, preacher? None of you. Unless you're just 2 or 3 years old, then you may not have had trouble. But if you are born of a woman, you have troubles. And then he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. When he continues not, can he work any longer? He cannot work any longer when he continueth not. There's no more working after death has closed in on us. And then verse number 3, and does thou open mine eyes upon such a one and bringeth me into the judgment with thee? Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? The question was asked, and the answer to that is no, not one, not one at all. Seeing his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. I can't extend my life. I can't extend my life, and you can't extend your life, not you alone. Now, I know there's a story in the Bible of Hezekiah who asked God to extend his life, and God did extend his life, but you can't extend your life, and I can't extend my life. The only thing that we can do is we can pray and ask God for a little bit more time. But the bad part of that is that if God answered all of us and gave all of us more time, we would go back, some of us, to our same old ways. We wouldn't stop. You know, I'm having too good of a time to give this up right now. I'm enjoying myself. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm enjoying my life and I'm not ready to stop? How many times have you seen someone who is the life of every single party you've ever been to or ever heard of that person attending? Good Time Charlie, in other words. He's the life of every party. He doesn't understand that one day he's not going to be here anymore. He doesn't understand that his days are determined. He doesn't understand that one day soon, it'll all be over. He doesn't understand that if you don't get it right while you're down here, there's no getting it right after you leave here. There's no getting it right once I leave this world and once I'm gone, I'm just gone. Once I'm gone, I can't have any options of setting life in order any longer. See, I can set my life. I got options right now. I can set my life in order. I can do some things that'll make my life, my eternity, maybe make my eternity a little bit better. maybe make the outcome, I should say, of my eternity better. But as long as I'm here, this is when I must work. Because when I'm gone, no work and no results shall come once I'm gone. And you know, it's difficult sometimes, especially when a man has a family. And I put it all on the man, because when a man has a family, he not only has to take care of himself, but he has to look out for his family. And I remember back when I was growing up, I used to hear men talk all the time, "I'm going to send my family to church." They didn't think that they needed to go to church. Only the family needed to go to church. But today, I'm so glad that I can see examples now of men not only sending the family, but coming with the family. I'm so glad today that I see more families coming to the church house instead of daddy staying at home. I'm so glad today that men have come to realize that there is no other God except the God who is in heaven. I'm glad today. And I'm glad today that all of you are here today. And I know many of you probably had thoughts of, I could be somewhere else this morning. And don't say you didn't. Some of you did. Many of you probably thought within your mind, it's Sunday already again. That means I got to go to church. I got to show up for somebody. I'm not showing up because I want to be there. I'm showing up for somebody else. But the Bible says that your days are determined. And the Bible says that we're going to have some troubles in this life, and that the days are going to be few. And if I've got just a few of anything, I ought to be striving for more of something, right? If you got few, don't you want more? And if your days are going to be determined, don't you want the best determination for your days? I do. And so this is what Job was speaking about, that man's days are full of trouble and that they are few. They're short, in other words. You don't have that many. And I think just last week I mentioned about Enoch, who had 109,000 plus days. And in our lives, we have something like the average lifespan is something like 25,500 days. If we live to be age 70. That's a lot of days. But they're still just a few days. Because in God's sight, one day is what your lifetime, 1,000 years, of if you could live 1,000 years, that's still in the sight of God is less than a day. And I think about that. I said to myself, if I only got 25,000 days, maybe. How many days can I try to get it right? How many days can I try to make sure that my life is an example to someone else? Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just simply saying, church. I'm just simply saying that the days of our lives are few. The days of our lives are full of troubles. So I say once again, death is certain, eternity is long. So you might want to consider getting it right with God today. How do I get it right with God? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson is probably in a mood to baptize it today. If not, somebody else will. The water is ready. The clothes are ready. Are you ready in your heart? And then, are you ready to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? And then if you've already done all of this, but your life has went kind of on a wavy path, you need to come back to God, ask Him to forgive you, and ask the church to pray for you. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you are weak?